Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Thermo Fisher Scientific, we had the pleasure of speaking with Apar Kishore Ganti, MD, and Allison Kushman Vakoon, MD, PhD, FCAP, about the FDA approval of the Oncomine DX Express test for use as a companion diagnostic for sunvozertinib in EGFR exon 20 insertion mutation positive non-small cell lung cancer and for use in tumor profiling. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Ganti and Kushman discussed the significance of the launch of the Oncomine DX Express test, the benefits and limitations of rapid next-generation sequencing, and features that set Oncomine DX apart from other available tests.
Can you just tell us about your experience using rapid NGS tests in your practice, and how are these kind of tests helpful, and are there any current limitations?
We run testing that ideally can be done within a week's time for our small panel, and predominantly we're talking about lung cancer here, but other tumors as well. And so I think from my understanding from the oncologist, I'm a molecular pathologist, and I know we've had a few recent cases and previous cases where even if they're not, you know, yet advanced or metastatic, having that knowledge upfront is useful for planning therapy in general, not just the targeted therapies, but potentially other therapies such as immunotherapy and so forth. And then if they are more advanced, you know, being able to have that biomarker knowledge right up front, for instance, EGFR mutation is useful in trying to decide as soon as possible for the patient.
So today in lung cancer specifically, and most cancers, understanding the molecular molecular makeup of the tumor is very important in deciding what treatment to give the patient. So for example, if you have a targeted mutation, a targetable mutation like EGFR or ALK or ROS, then obviously in the metastatic setting, that becomes the first line of treatment. In the earlier setting, depending upon whether the patients need chemotherapy or not, or adjuvant treatment or not after their initial surgery, having the knowledge about these molecular mutations will determine whether they get an agent that targets these mutations, like for example, EGFR or ALK, or also more importantly, immunotherapy is not an appropriate option for individuals with some of these mutations. So it's important to know that upfront.
Anything you can say about how comprehensive the Oncomine DX test results are and kind of what the significance of that would be compared to maybe available tests?
The genes like RAF and ERAF and a lot of those important markers, important such as MET and HER2, RNA fusions, so the ALKs, the ROSs, the NTREX, the RETs, and so forth. So I think those are all very important biomarkers in trying to decide how you're going to treat a lung cancer, and I think it's pretty comprehensive.
And I briefly looked at all the genes that were in this panel, and I think as of today, it covers all of the mutations that are targetable. So in that sense, it would be fairly comprehensive. The one thing that it does not have is there are some mutations for which there are clinical trials ongoing, but there are others like MTAP, for example, which I did not see on the list. So that markers like that may not be tested and therefore may need more testing, or different tests needs to be done in order to see if the patient would be a candidate for a clinical trial. But for all the currently approved agents, that seems to be enough as of today. And that might change tomorrow.
And STK11, Apar, is that also one that people are starting to look for in lung cancer?
No. People have looked at it, but currently it does not have any specific therapeutic implications. So STK11 seems to be a marker of resistance to immunotherapy, but so far, there are no prospective trials showing that if you have that mutation, you should not give immunotherapy. And therefore, right now, when I look at something like that, I'll say, okay, more than likely, this patient may not respond to immunotherapy, but I'll still give it and see what happens.
What are some of the reasons that other available genomic tests take a long time to produce results? And kind of what is the clinical impact of this? And how could newer tests, such as the one we're talking about today, kind of reduce this turnaround time?
So from a clinical perspective, patients with metastatic cancer don't like to be told to wait. And in 2025, no lung cancer patient should start treatment without knowing their molecular status. People do it all the time, but it is frustrating because there's a lot of harm that can be done if you treat patients without knowing their molecular subtype. And therefore, telling patients to wait for 3-4 weeks when we get the next generation sequencing testing creates a lot of anxiety in the patient's mind because they're almost they're programmed to believe that if they have cancer, they need to start treatment yesterday. And asking them to wait 3-4 weeks to get the NGS results, as happens relatively frequently these days, can be nerve-wracking for the patients. So having a test with a rapid turnaround time would be very, very helpful to decrease that anxiety and decrease the delay in treatment after a cancer diagnosis.
For some of the other technologies out there, they just by their own inherent biological nature just take a little bit longer in order to get the results. The sequencing just takes longer. Now, that, I mean, there are pros and cons to all technologies, so I'm not highlighting one's better or one's worse. The ion technology, the semiconductor sequencing technology, that ability to read proton, you know, or hydrogen ion release rapidly, I think allows for quicker sequencing and quicker turnaround time. And also, depending if you're looking at a smaller panel versus a larger panel, obviously, if you're sequencing more data or more nucleotides, then you're obviously going to take longer to produce the sequence. So if you can do a smaller panel with short little amplicon reads, it's going to be quicker and more timely. That's one of the benefits of the Oncomine DX test. Some of the other reasons that it can take so long is it takes us sometimes a while, especially if the specimen's coming from another institution, you know, if a patient's getting a second opinion here, we need to get that tissue. That can take some time getting that tissue sent to us. And so that's sometimes why it can take longer than it should. And then we have to process that here and get it ready to go for the sequencing. So I think that's another, we're trying to shorten those kind of pre-analytical delays, but we're also dependent sometimes on other institutions getting us those blocks or slides or what have you. And then we have to review those as pathologists and so forth.
Are there any situations you could foresee where this testing might be combined with other tests to produce a more comprehensive overview of a patient's disease?
PD-L1, for instance, is still an immunohistochemical test. We don't really do that by molecular means. And so you have immunohistochemistry that's doing that test. There's a new MET immunohistochemistry test that's going to become useful, or there's not an FDA-approved therapy for. That is also an IHC test. You can look for like MET amplification with like the Oncomine DX, but you're not going to cover all the lung cancers that have MET protein expression that might be eligible for that therapy. There are tests we need that are protein expression that can't be measured by the molecular means. And so we have different ways of integrating that and making sure that we get all that information performed on a patient specimen.
What are the NCCN guidelines currently recommend regarding the use of broad genetic profiling in patients with lung cancer?
So NCCN guidelines recommend comprehensive genetic profiling using a next-generation sequencing panel. However, they also allow sites that don't have access to it, or if it may be prohibitive, to do at least test for those mutations for which there is a drug available. And they recommend doing this across the board on all stages of non-small cell lung cancer.
What is the significance of the Oncomine test now being available in the U.S. For patients with lung cancer?
From a clinical perspective, I think having the turnaround of less than 24 hours will be pretty important. It will decrease the anxiety, like I mentioned earlier.
So some institutions, they prefer performing tests that have been approved by the FDA. So that might be one significance related to it. And then just having like a rapid test, you know, especially when it takes longer to get specimens, as we've been discussing, having a more rapid test kind of helps make up for that. Ideally, you'd want to have both be a rapid process, but having the test available will make it easier to get the testing done quickly so that the patients can plan better and sooner rather than wait.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Thermo Fisher Scientific. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.